first thing I'd like to do, in order that we can have things move along properly later, is I would like for you to volunteer, if you will, to read some scripture this morning. So, do I have a volunteer to read Hebrews? Sydney.
Australia?
Yeah.
That's why I did anyway.
James? Rusty? And the second Corinthians?
That one looks like a second Corinthians bill instead of.
Yeah.
According to them.
Where am I going to be?
David.
David. David. It's not David.
Either one. This one.
David. Yes.
David.
Gene.
You can learn everybody's name today.
Gene.
Gene.
I thought you said Jake, and I knew you.
You knew better.
This is why I really stumbled. Gene, that means you also get this one because it's all same place.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
This is. These are the sections we're gonna do. These sections. So you'll have a piece of two sections. He wants to do Galatians 6. And John, that means you also
figured that.
These are fairly long. Let me take those, but we'll all look at those together. John 8, 32. And Rhonda, could you also do 14? Okay. And Ephesians 4, 30. Dave, you want to do another one? Thank you. Anybody else want to do? Perfect. Okay. Now, in reality, this is sort of like the continuation of this one. If you take a look, we've got seven things that pop up there, and that's going to be useful. Now, let's get started by first reviewing. Over on the right-hand side of the chart for you is the website where I post lessons. Today is coming from last week's lesson. In a way, it's a continuation of that. So I need to go back and just pick up a couple of things from that lesson. Last week, we were looking at the times in Scripture when either Jesus says or somebody says in his presence and he approves, what's the great commandment in the law? Jesus' answer at that time was not one, but two. In the upper room in John, he puts a third one with it. What I need to do is just rehearse what those three great commandments were. What was the first one? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Those were the two that you see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In John, in the upper room on the last night of his earthly life, Jesus gave a third one. What was that? Love one another. Love God, love your neighbor, love one another. Who's the other that the one another is talking about? He's talking about Christians loving Christians. So it's us within the church, within the community. Now, if you remember, we also pointed out last time that Jesus' commentary, or the commentary that came in his presence and which he approved, was that there were three comments he made about this. The first one was, all the law and the prophets, everything God had to say through Scripture for the Old Testament, every bit of that hung on those commandments. If you understand and follow those three commandments, everything the law is asking you to do, telling you to do, will be done. The second thing, and this was something someone said in his presence about this, and he approved it, this, obeying these commandments, is better than burnt offerings and sacrifices. The third time you see this in Luke,
the person who has asked the question asked Jesus a question after the first two, and the question was, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told a story. What was the story he told? Story of the Good Samaritan. At the end, he said to the man, which of these three, the two who walked by on the other side or the Samaritan, which of these three was neighbor to the man who had fallen among thieves? The man couldn't bring himself to say the Samaritan, but he said the one who showed mercy to him. Jesus then said, go you and do likewise. And those are the three things we've been working on. How do we understand that everything that the laws and prophets, everything Scripture tells us, is summed up in these three? How is this to be understood as better than burnt offerings and sacrifices? And finally, how do we go and do likewise? The going and doing likewise, we began with, how do we love each other? And we had some things to talk about with that last week. I'm going to come back and dig deeper into that. And it's touching on parts of the other two. So that's the spirit in which we're going to read. I've got seven dots up there and maybe a half at the end. And for each of those dots, I want us to try to see if we can glean from the Scriptures we read one of the principles of how do we, within the body, how do Christians love each other? To model that for the world. So let's read number one, which is, Sydney, Hebrews 10.
Hebrews 10:25. But see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. The day is capitalized.
Big day approaching. What's the message there? How do we love each other? Read it one more time, see if you can pick it up.
But see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together, as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching.
Most everybody reading this is going to jump onto the encourage one another, spurring each other on. Right. What's buried in the middle?
Worship.
You can't do those things if you don't ever come together. So how can you put those two thoughts together? Here's the way I did it. Connect with each other. You can't connect if you're not together. And when you connect with one another, then the other things that are supposed to happen between connected people, between God's people when connected, can happen. I took a second or two here in the first hour, and since you're probably going to hear about this, I might as well go ahead and do it for you. I've been teaching in my classes this week about gases. And there's something neat about gases. We have this thing we call the ideal gas law. Describes the behavior of ideal gases. There's a small problem. There aren't any. There are no ideal gases. None. We have real gases. What happens when you bring gas molecules close together and slow them down? What happens? They start to stick to one another and they form liquids or solids depending on the combination of properties that you have. Lowering the temperature slows them down. Increasing the pressure pushes them closer together. Both of those have the effect of bringing. When they come close together and when they slow down, spend time with each other, then they start to stick together. Well, I think that's a metaphor for this. And I tried to talk about the opposite. The opposite was, there was a time when I was in a car driving alone on a road in Texas. Now, I don't know how much you've been in Texas, and the roads are not all like this one in Texas, but many of them are. It was very straight and very flat for as far as the eye seemed to be able to see. Okay? Now, there's an old joke that maybe you've heard, and the joke goes like this. I couldn't understand why the ball seemed to be getting bigger, and then it hit me. You got it? You got it? Okay. Way off in the distance, I saw a spot. in a very brief period of time, with the period of time getting briefer and briefer and briefer as the story goes on, I recognized it wasn't just a spot, it was a red spot. I recognized it was a car and not a truck. I recognized it was a sports car, a convertible, driven by someone with long hair, blonde hair, a beautiful person. This was a woman. She was... What was the speed limit, probably?
As fast as you could drive.
No, no, no. That's Montana or Wyoming.
55.
75. No, this was way back then. It was just before it went to 55. That was before. Speed limit was 75. How fast was I going?
Every bit of that.
79. Okay. If you know they're going to nail you at 10 over, then you get just a little short of 5 over and probably you're okay. And I'm saying this in front of my friend John, and I shouldn't be. There I was, about 79. She's approaching me at a speed I would estimate in excess of 100. What's our combined rate of approach of each other? 180 miles or more per hour. Okay. Was there an attractive force that was operating? You bet. She was cute. This was a long time ago. This was okay for me to notice she was cute. Did the attractive forces have any chance of working? None. Why not? We didn't spend any time close together. It was... That's what gases do. If you slow them down and get them close together, then they have a chance to make connections. That's what I think this was talking about. Now, what's the purpose of the connections? To encourage, to spur on, to all the other things that are there. But it's that, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, King James says it. You're said it a little bit better. Don't quit going to worship services or something like that. Spending time together where you interact with one another, that's the catalyst of the way that you make connections. And I think that's the first one. Let's rehearse. What's the first one? Connect with each other. And all the rest sort of comes with it. For this purpose, for this purpose, for this purpose, in order to accomplish this or that. All right, number two. This is James, and Rusty, you had this one.
James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another, and you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer has power. Very quickly, what is this one? What was the first one?
Connect
with each other. What's this one?
Pray for each other.
Caring comes with it, David. But the heart is prayer. But how did this one start?
Confess your sins.
Yeah, now I'm going to expand this a bit. But in essence, pray for each other comes with an obligation, and the obligation is, if you're the one who needs prayer, you let people know. You let them know enough. They don't need everything. You let us know enough, or I let you know enough, that you can pray in an informed way. Somebody's in the hospital. If you know they're in the ICU or they're in a regular room, you know something. You don't maybe have to know them a whole lot more. If you know this one's pretty grim as opposed to this one's somewhat routine, but you're always apprehensive no matter what you're doing in a hospital, you know something. This one's talking about if you need prayer for other kinds of reasons where human frailty and such is concerned, open it up enough to where people can pray in an informed way. It doesn't mean every single detail, but enough. Okay? Pray for each other. And that means allow people to pray for you and give them enough information, not too much, but enough information where they have some sense of how to pray. All right? Let's go to the next one. Two verses for this one. One is in 2 Corinthians. Who has that one? Dave, I think you've got that one. Is that right?
Right.
And then Gene the other. Dave first.
Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you.
Jane? I think you had
3:17.
Yeah.
And whatever you do, in order to be all in the name of the Lord Jesus,
thanks to God that I will prove him.
Can you put these two together? Travis just preached a series of sermons. What was the subject? Make us one. That's what it's talking about. What's the promise? It was at the end of Dave's verse.
Peace.
What was the promise? Not just peace.
God's peace.
Not just God's peace. The God of peace will be with you. I think that's what I heard. God's very presence is more manifest, more seen, more effective when we work towards unity. So how do we express this one? I think you express it that way. Work toward unity with each other. And there's promises that come that make this worthwhile. Okay, so far? That's the first three. Let's rehearse. What was the first one?
Connect
with each other. And there's all kinds of things that come when that happens. Second one was?
Pray
for each other. Third one? Work towards unity with each other. All right. Now, the next two are pretty fascinating. The next two dots, I mean. We're going to go with this one first. John, Galatians 6:1, and then Gene again, the verse just before the one you read. John?
Brethren, if a man has overtaken any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself least, you also be tempted.
Gene?
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Okay, let's pick up the first one first. What's the picture? If one of you is, remember what John said? John does. Remember what John said? Read it again, John.
Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself least, you also be tempted.
Yeah. There may be a mispronunciation there. I think it says considering yourself lest you also be tempted, because that the picture is the way that you correct error in somebody else is with a recognition I could be falling as well. Not a superior sense of, well, I never would have gotten caught in that. How did you? And the word lest is, I think, the hinge on that piece. Okay? What does that say? And we're going to put the other verse with it in just a second so you can see it. What does this one say? Yeah, the tail end says, don't in the process be a hypocrite, but we haven't honed in yet on what the process is.
Confront.
Yeah, confront or correct. I put down, watch out for each other. Intervene when necessary. And now John's piece sort of gives the spirit in which that is done. Okay? Sydney?
The message says forgivingly restore.
Mm-hmm. We have been forgiven, and we better not forget we had things to be forgiven for. But the key there is watch out for each other. If somebody gets caught, somebody ought to notice. And somebody ought to respond. But the way you respond makes a difference. Now, Jane, there's a key in the other, in what you read, that kind of fits with this. And it has to do with sort of imperative verbs. Now, have I said enough to let you pull just those two imperative verbs out? You got to remember your English lessons from junior year in high school.
In all wisdom and grace.
Here it comes. Not yet. Keep going.
In your heart.
Keep going.
To the Lord.
Start over.
Now, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Okay, pause for a second. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Isn't you doing it? This is Christ dwelling in you. Now, what are you supposed to do?
Teach and admonish one another in psalms.
Yeah, that's just those two. Teach and admonish. What's teaching? As opposed to admonishing. You been admonished lately?
Not this morning.
He's working on
I love the way you looked slightly left before you said that, and she looked down and started laughing.
Today?
Yeah.
Well, Jim last week.
Hmm?
gently last week.
Yeah, I was doing a little admonishing last week. I was admonished pretty thoroughly about 4 weeks ago. We've got a committee that I led, a parallel committee for almost 20 years, so I've got some experience. I'm not on it anymore. They decided they didn't want me on it, but they had somebody who was off for a year, so I took that person's place. Okay. This committee has a pretty powerful responsibility. We give away accumulative millions of dollars in scholarships. We choose students to get scholarships from Richmond. Our purpose is to find students to invest in. When they come to Richmond, we'll take full advantage of everything we offer. And in the process of doing that, other students will have a place to role models, we'll have friends, we'll have other things. And we'll sort of seed the student body with kids who are serious about their education. So the first round of this, we were supposed to read all kinds of information that was in an application folder for each one of these. I think I had 40 of these to read. And we were supposed to end up ranking the ones that we read. And we were told you have to use a 5-point scale. 5 means the best, and 1 means of the ones you're seeing, the least. We were seeing terrific kids, so 1 did not mean worthless. We should never bring these things in. It was just, well, okay, if we're going to give support, here's where we start. Okay? Now, I didn't do this in the first hour. But I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what happened. But anyway, 5-point scale, 5 means best, 1 means best. So we came into our first meeting where we'd ranked 30 or 40 kids. And I got scolded at a level that I haven't been scolded in years. And the finger that was pointing, that was saying with clenched teeth, "You used fractions. How dare you use fractions? You were supposed to use 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You used 3.5. How dare you?" Now, I'm going to tell you what I didn't tell the other hour. I could have used a 6,000-point scale. I could have used a scale from 0.003 to 0.004. I can use anything I want. There's a mathematical processing that they did. It's called Z-scores, if you know something about statistics, that wipes out everything that I can use anything I want, and it'll set it to the right relative scale. It does that for you, and that had been done. It didn't matter. And this person was a person who's supposed to know this. And they didn't.
They had a seizure.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, hang on. 3 weeks later, we do our interviews. We finish our interviews. We rank again. I'm compiling these in a meeting. What do you think? What ranking do you give this one? And the person who screamed at me 3 weeks before said, "I think I'm going to have to go with a 3.5 on this one. You can't go the other."
Oh. Did you bite your tongue?
There was blood. There was blood running down my chin.
Something happened to him.
I looked around the room and I said, "I want everyone to just note this moment." I didn't say anything else, and they all started laughing. I'm trying to be funny. But there's a very serious point to be made. This is not the only place. We're going to stumble across another one later. Teaching and admonishing. Who today do you teach and who today do you admonish? Because tomorrow it could change. The wisdom of knowing which one. So when it talks at the front, the power of the wisdom of the Lord in your mind, helping you figure out which way and fine-tuning what you do. But the idea here is watch out for each other, intervene when necessary. God's wisdom's got to tell you which way your intervention goes. Do they need to be encouraged and pushed? Do they need to be corrected and all that? And do that in gentleness, because it could be you needing one or the other of these tomorrow. Being receptive to this kind of this is what we call holding each other accountable. That would be probably the modern and maybe the better way to say that. But I think in the context of this, it's watch out for each other. Recognizing your own, with humility, your own tendencies. That it's only by God's grace that you're not in a problem today. Okay? Now, this next one carries that idea of conflict even further. And so I want you to listen real well. Now this, John, we're still with you.
Right.
I want you to read verse 2 and then read verse 5. And the rest of you, your job is, can you figure out what the conflict is? It doesn't matter where I put this thing. I'm in somebody's way. Looks like I got to go over here. Is this better? John.
Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Read that one more time because I was talking over you.
Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For each one shall bear his own load.
Whoa. Read the first one, pause, and then read the second one. Did you catch it?
Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Pause, go.
For each one shall bear his own load.
You supposed to bear your own load, or am I supposed to help you?
Three verses apart.
Do you hear conflict?
One's a crisis, and one is everyday living.
Somewhere in there, you got to reconcile these two. That's one way. That's probably the best way to do that. Today, do what you can to do what God's put into your power to do. And look around and see, is there somebody that's collapsing under the load? There's a writer, not a particularly significant writer from the standpoint of literature, but he talks in one of his novels about a caryatid, and I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. We actually saw some of these when we were in Greece last year. We saw these near the Parthenon. Caryatid is when you have a human figure, usually a woman, who is holding up a column for a temple. Have you seen these? The women are standing like this. They have a Corinthian or a capital of some kind on their heads, and their feet go into something on the ground. That's the one. Well, somebody, I think it was Rodin, did a statue. I can show it to you right after I show you Jake's mutton chops if you want. I have it on here too. But it shows something like that, except the caryatid has collapsed. And the capital is still up there, and the foundation is still underneath. And she's doing her best to hold it up, but she's collapsing under the load. Do what you can to carry your own load, and watch for people who today need some help. And what happens? The next day it may be you needing some help. Those two verses coming so close together, bear your own burdens. Bear one another's burdens. They sound like they're in conflict, and I think that was meant to sound that way.
Could it also be added that if you're always looking towards others, you're alone, you're not. In other words, people are constantly looking.
I think that's a huge one. Yeah. If you are constantly looking for other people to bear your load, something's pretty badly wrong. If you're not doing what you can with what you have, something's wrong. But if you work only in isolation and never pay attention to the needs of others, if you don't recognize all of this is a two-way street, all of this is a two-way street. We had a fellow in the first hour whose wife died this last week. He was one of those who said, no visits, no calls. But he came in this morning and asked me to thank the group because he said, and he held his fingers this far apart, I had a stack of cards this week, this big, and you cannot know what that meant to me. It just was overwhelming. He couldn't bear the visits because he didn't want to talk about this, but there was this tangible outpouring of love and concern, and it worked. Somewhere in this process, it goes, I've seen him helping other people who've had troubles. Man, this was his week to need that. And I think, you know, it's one weekend, but I think he has survived the week on a high note. He survived the week with a sense of encouragement and companionship from people that know him and love him. That give and take is what's in these two verses. Do what you can. If you are not doing what you can, there's a problem. If you never notice when the people around you have needs, that's a problem. But if all that happens is people give and give and give and you're not doing what you can do, that's not going to work either. It's that give and take. Somebody had their hand up, Sydney.
Message says it really clear. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. And then it says, if you think you share their burdens.
Yeah.
Five.
That sounds right.
Now compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life.
But if you read either of those verses in isolation, you're not seeing the full story of what's being said here. And that's what I'm trying to point out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right. Now, these are the big ones. If you want to turn to them and read along with me, that's fine. Galatians 5:22 is the first one. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, trustfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You don't write laws about things like this. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Notice the two parts here. Dave, this echoes some of the things that you were reading in your verse a while back. Listen to it. It's a little bit more fleshed out, but it's that same idea towards the end of that verse. Chapter 4, verse 4. Always be joyful then in the Lord. I repeat, be joyful. Let your good sense be obvious to everybody. The Lord is near. Never worry about anything, but tell God all of your desires in every kind of prayer and petition, shot through with gratitude. And the peace of God, which is beyond our understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. That's the first part. Second part. Finally, brothers, let your minds be filled with everything that is true, everything that is honorable, everything that is upright, everything that is pure, everything that is lovely, everything that is admirable, with whatever is good and praiseworthy. Keep doing everything you learned from me. Keep doing everything you were told by me. Keep doing everything you have heard me doing or seen me doing. And then the God of peace will be with you. The first half, God's peace comes. The second half, God himself comes. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting at verse 14. Be at peace among yourselves. We urge your brothers to... this picks up on what you were reading a moment or two, Gene. We urge you brothers to admonish those who are undisciplined, encourage those who are apprehensive, support those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. Make sure that people do not try to repay evil for evil. Always aim at what is best for each other and for everyone. Always be joyful, pray constantly, and for all things give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, if you pick up the last one first, you start to maybe get a glimpse of sort of where this all goes. But what summarizes this? What pulls all three of these sections of Scripture together? Let's see if we can get a running start. What was the first one we talked about today? Connect with each other. What's the second one? Pray for each other. What's the third one? Work together for unity. What's the fourth one? Watch out for one another. Watch out for one another. Fifth one? Do what you can to carry your own load, but help each other with their loads. And accept help that somebody offers it. Now we come to this one. Here's the way I worded it. Cultivate in your life God's qualities. And try to help others with that process as much as you can. Cultivate in the lives of ourselves and each other God's kind of qualities. Now, in Gene's verse of a while ago, it was teach and admonish. Remember that? This time, in this last one, it was admonish those who are undisciplined, my translation says. Encourage those who are apprehensive. Timid, I think, is what another translation gives. Support those who are weak. And be patient with everybody. What's the challenge? Knowing who needs what this week. I can remember seeing a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. You remember Calvin and Hobbes? Calvin is sitting behind a big table like a lemonade stand. Hobbes is back there with him. Written across the front of this big box, it says, Swift kick in the rear end, $1. And Calvin looks at Hobbes and says, I just don't understand why we have no business. Everybody I know needs what we're selling. Now, what this verse is saying is some people do need that. Some people need something else. Some people need something else. The job you have is, with the help that the Spirit gives, figure out who's who today, because they may change places tomorrow. Okay?
And that's where it goes to teaching, straight through the heart of the person.
I was prepared for a really experienced teacher to tell me teaching and admonishing is all part of the same thing. And I think they are part of it. The teaching is the more positive aspects of what we do. Admonishing is the more negative aspects of what we do. But somehow you've got this. There are times you need to scold a little. You know, look, you're expecting to do well in this course and you're not reading the things I'm telling you to read. You're not practicing the things I'm telling you to practice. Come on, man. Or somebody else clearly is trying to do that and isn't understanding. Okay, let's go over this one more time. That change in spirit. Experienced teachers know sort of, and in that sense, they're part of the larger skill set. And in one case, it's divided into two. In this case, it's divided into four, with patience for everybody sort of wrapping it up.
One has to go with the other.
Yeah.
If you're trying to admonish a child and never felt love, then the admonishment is going to fall on that ear. So they're going to close down.
Right.
Once you show the patience and the love, then the admonishments come. They're accepted.
Earn the right to do some correcting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Can you do something again, sir?
Cultivate God's qualities in your own life and help others with that process as well, as much as you can. And what you saw was lists of things that are God kind of qualities. Okay, we are down to the last one. Rhonda, you've got these two. So John 8 and then John 14.
Alright, so John 8:32 says, well, it's in the middle of the sentence.
Yeah, so just, do what you need to make it work.
Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
And then 14.
Okay. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
What's this one saying? Because without this, the others don't really hang together. Connect with one another, pray for one another, encourage each other, work towards unity with each other, watch out for each other, help each other with their loads, but do what you can to carry your own. Cultivates God's qualities in your life and help others with that process. What's this one?
You have to know Jesus, and you have to know his will from
you. You have to know the Lord, and the Lord's Spirit has to be alive in your heart. If you are not influenced by the Spirit, none of this is going to work. Now, in the first hour, we ended up with two different verbs for this, and it was very interesting because I thought one of those was pretty good because I had it, and then the other one was offered, and I realized if you put the two together, it's even better. I said, allow the Spirit to work in our hearts. Plural, not singular. The other person said, rely on the Spirit working in your hearts. Allow it, count on it, watch for it. Allow the Spirit to do his work among us. A lot of people willing to let the Spirit do work inside of me, but I don't want to have any. The Spirit is in the process of connecting us, of teaching us how to pray for each other, of bringing us into it. The Spirit is at work in all those things. If the Spirit in me is not connecting me to the Spirit in you, things aren't working the way they should. And that's the seventh one. Okay? Now, there's two verses left, and they still connect into this one. And I want to pick up those two. They're both pretty brief. Dave, you're still writing. Maybe you still have time. You got it marked? Okay. It's Ephesians 4:30, and then Kimberly, you've got the last one.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. What's yours?
Do not stifle the Holy Spirit.
Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. This one is talking about allowing or relying on the Spirit actively working collectively in us, in our community. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. If you've been faithful and regular in your attendance, you've heard me talk about this before, you probably already know what I'm going to say. But if you don't remember or if you haven't been here, then maybe this will be new for you. What's this talking about? I think it's simple. What do you think? Sydney, you were about to say something. Maybe you weren't. What do you think? Well, here it goes. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you go off and do something the Holy Spirit was trying to ask you. Don't go there. Don't do that. Can you turn that upside down? You stifle the Holy Spirit when you refuse to go someplace. You refuse to do something the Holy Spirit is trying to lead you to do. Do you remember Paul's statements? Paul said this. I find myself constantly doing things I realize I really don't want to do. I find myself not doing things I really want to do. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Christ will, praise his name. That's our lot. So if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work, relying on the Holy Spirit to work, how does it work? It works by listening to the guidance that comes. Don't go there. Don't do that. Go there. Do that. And if you then back up to those qualities that we talked about in item 6, the qualities that God is trying to grow and produce in us, then you start to realize there's a pretty good measure there of which way the Spirit is likely to be taking you and which way the Spirit's going to be saying, don't go there. Don't grieve. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Well, that's all I have. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the chance to think about how we carry out that great command that we love each other. And on this day of all days, we thank you for your Son, for his death for us, and for his resurrection, which is the proof that you have resurrection ready for us. We thank you for the words of hope and affirmation that you gave to us through your servant, our pastor. And I pray that we will take these words, put them with it, and give your Holy Spirit a chance to help us understand even more about who you are and what you're doing in our world. For we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.